Good morning. How's everybody today? You good?
Yesterday was the Arctic blast.
It's February. It's supposed to get cold, isn't it? And it wasn't really that cold. It wasn't really that bad, thank God. So if you listen too much to the weather people, they'll make you crazy, you know. So I'm glad you're with us this morning. We had a wonderful time last week. We had spent some time together in fellowship after service. I was really glad to see so many stay. I thought it was a great time, and we will be planning more during the year. We'll, you know, get those dates on the calendar, and we'll announce it so you can set apart the time to stay with us. But I thought it was a really blessed time. Before I just pray for this next time, the portion of the time we're together, just want to tell you that we are having communion today, the Lord's Supper, and I want to make it all about the Lord's Supper. That's what I want our focus to be this morning. I want us to take the time to really go through this and to think about it, and give us time to contemplate what it means to sit at His table. So I even asked Martin to stay up here because he'll probably even play a little bit quietly while we're contemplating and thinking about what we're going to do and sitting at His table. So I want to let you guys know that in advance, and that it's all about the Lord's Supper this morning. So, Father, as we get ready to sit at your table, we're thankful that it is your table, it's your supper, and that we can participate in this manner. Lord, I pray that we would prepare our hearts to sit and to come together and to share this bread and this wine that represent your body and your blood. Father, let it never become just a ritual to us. Let it be something, Lord God, where we recognize the significance of it and we do it in remembrance of you. So, Father, as we begin this portion of our time together, thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for the great sacrifice of the cross. And thank you that when you instituted this wonderful time we call the Lord's Supper, you told us and reminded us that we do this not only to remember you, but to anticipate your coming. So, Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for this time. And let us be built up and edified today. And I pray that we would be sure to give you all the glory that you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's the Last Supper, right? The Last Supper. Jesus said, I desire with great desire to have this meal with you. I think it's always great that we would have that desire every time we have communion. It was, as you know, a Passover at the time, and they were celebrating the Passover, and they previously, prior to that, or at that time, they were always looking back. When they were celebrating the Passover, looking back to what? Coming out of Egypt, right? The whole wonderful thing that Jesus did in delivering them from bondage and all the symbolism and all the things that it reminded them of God's faithfulness and God's promise and God's deliverance for them. But from that night forward, they were going to start looking forward. Because we would remember that he let them know that the bread and the cup revealed some amazing things about himself. He said, this bread is the body, my body, that will be broken for you. This cup is my blood, it is the new covenant that I make with you. So the body broken, the blood shed. We know that we are washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. It's because we're sinners. Because from the very beginning at creation, how many of you wonder how long it took from creation of Adam, male and female, to the fall? It doesn't tell us. How many of you wonder at that time space? It's one of the questions I have. How long did it take, you know, for the fall? Me, my cynical side says it was quick. I just, I don't think it took very long. I just think that, boom, you know, here it is, the heart of man, deceitfully wicked, boom, here they go. We're going down the tubes, you know, so to speak. But, you know, they disobeyed God's command. As you know, they disobeyed that command. And God showed them that you can't make yourself right by trying to do something else to get back to God's good graces. You can't make fig leaves for yourself. You can't cover your sin. Jesus said that requires blood. Blood. And there was an animal sacrifice. Death finally came into that wonderful creation as the blood was shed to cover their sin. And it was a temporary covering. The bloods of animals was just a temporary covering. Until Jesus came into the world, until Jesus came. And remember, Jesus never came here to start a religion, to start a movement. He came to die. He came to be a sacrifice. He came to do what no one else would or could do, give his own life in place of ours. And in the shedding of his blood, the perfect Lamb of God, the blood was shed. It flowed from him for our forgiveness once and for all. We know that there are those who weekly bring that sacrifice of that blood again, and that's to me a complete abomination, because Jesus said, I died once, I shed my blood once. It's one time, once for all. And then all those who in faith receive that promise of eternal life in him by believing that his blood was shed for the forgiveness of sins, by believing that Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God, to believe he was and is the only way of salvation, then that blood washes our sin away once and for all. So Jesus, if you will, was God's permanent answer to the problem of sin, past, present, and future. So when you and I, when anyone comes to faith in Jesus Christ, when we believe what he did upon the cross, when we recognize that he died and he shed his blood for our sin, his body was broken, the blood was shed, that the wrath of the Father was poured out upon him upon the cross because he had taken all of our sin upon himself. Think of that significance. The sinless one, Jesus, when he was upon the cross, took all of the sin of the world upon himself. And then took the wrath of the Father upon him to pay the penalty in full. He said, it is finished. He paid it in full, paid in full. So he did this. And when we believe that in faith, when we come to Jesus Christ, repenting of our sins and receiving his forgiveness, when we're born again, we are now separated, if you will, or consecrated, we're sanctified, set apart unto our Lord, and we're forgiven. But you know, we have to, Peter says it in his epistle, we have to be reminded. How many of you have to be reminded of things? Okay, good. You were slow raising your hand. I thought it was only me. And I thank Jesus. I have a good memory. But I have to be reminded of things. Ask Meg. She'll tell you all the time how much I have to be reminded of stuff. You know. And you know what? But we have to be reminded what Jesus did for us and what he's doing for us and what he will continue to do for us. And that's one of the reasons that he instituted this supper. To remember. To be reminded. There's symbolism, if you will, in the supper. One of the things it does symbolize for us is this time of connection, if you will, mostly with him, but also with one another. It's koinonia. It's a time of communion, a time of fellowship together, connected to the Lord in this very special way. We're all family because we're washed in the same blood, the blood of Jesus. We are one. We have to work together to make sure that we keep that unity, the Bible says, in the bond of peace, but we are one. And in that unity that we have, we are united with him and with one another. And we remember that we come together to sit at the Lord's Supper. We come together to sit at the table. Paul had some chief word or some very clear words of rebuke to the Corinthian church who was coming and having the Lord's Supper. And then they were, you know, some people were not, you know, respecting the others and eating more food than the other ones and keeping other ones there. And he said, this is not the Lord's Supper. Come together, share, be with one another. It's a unity that we have to remember that Jesus purchased for us upon the cross. Now, there is some criteria before we come together and sit at the table. The Lord's Supper is for those who are born again. It's for the body of Christ. It's for the church. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, he said, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." This idea of coming to the table in an unworthy manner, many people ask, what does that mean? I think it means several things that I think fit the scripture and the context of that scripture. One, I believe it means when we come to that table and we completely disregard the meaning of the bread and the cup. We completely forget. It becomes just a ritual to us. It's just a thing that we do. And we forget, again, what Jesus did on the cross for us and what he instituted that night. When it becomes just a ceremony, when it becomes just dead and formal ritualism. But it also, I believe, matters, and especially in the context of Corinthians, when Paul brings this up, is that if there's any unconfessed sin, especially amongst ourselves, anything that would bring disunity between us and Jesus and disunity with one another. And I believe that we always should take time. You should probably start, if you know we're having communion, start at home. Just, Lord, I want to be worthy to sit at your table. I'm not worthy in myself, but Lord, I don't want to come to the table with anything that would separate me from you, any unconfessed sin. Anything that I have against my brother or my sister that I need to deal with before I come and sit at the table. And I believe that that's what he's talking about there. We need to make sure that we have hearts that even though our sins are washed away, we know that we still sin and that we want to bring those sins to the Lord, because he said if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness so that we can sit at the table in a worthy manner. So we're going to examine ourselves in a few moments. As our brothers will come up in just a minute or two, and as they're getting ready to distribute the elements, we will take some time to just examine ourselves. But I want to mention another thing, though, because as Paul talks about examining ourselves, he also mentions also in 1 Corinthians 11 that when we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. And I think that's so significant, especially in the times in which we live today. Now, there's no doubt, none of us know the day or the hour of the Lord's return, but we do know this for sure. We can be absolutely sure. We're much closer to that time than when he instituted the Lord's Supper. It's about 2,000 years closer to his return. I don't know when he's coming back, but as I look at the world around us today and as I keep my eyes on the scripture and, if you will, on the headlines, I believe that everything that the Bible says about the end times we're living in. Now, what that means, you know, in God's timetable, his time is different than our time. It could still be hundreds of years, but it also could be tomorrow. It could be today. It could be before we finish sitting at the table today. He can come at any time, and we need to be prepared for his coming. For us, first, for the church to be called home, his bride to be called home. Are we ready? Are we ready to stand at his judgment seat, not at the great white throne judgment, but at the judgment seat of Christ? Are we ready? Are we prepared? None of us will be there without some issues, but as he burns away all of those things, is there some gold or silver or precious stones, those things left behind that we did for the Lord in service to him, not looking for any kind of commendation from him, but to be able to say, Lord, we did this for you. We did this for your kingdom. We did this for your glory. Will those things remain in us as we stand before him? Because we want to remember as we sit at the table what he did for us, what he's doing for us, and the fact that he's coming soon. Are you ready for his coming? Are you ready for him to call you home in the twinkling of an eye? To be transported in an instant into his presence? That's a beautiful thing. The dead in Christ, the Bible says, shall rise first. And then we, if we are of that generation that are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them forever to be with the Lord. And some people go, ah! But the apostle adds, comfort one another with these words. To me, they're comforting words. To know that we're going to be caught up together to be with Jesus. So we look forward as we sit at the table to his coming. We look back. But we also look forward to his return. He is, if you will, our Passover. He is our everything. So there's a time limit on this Last Supper. until he comes. Then we're going to be sitting at that table. Oh, what a time that'll be. You know, could you imagine what it's going to be just sitting at his table there when we're in glory with Jesus? You know, that's to come. We could think about it. There's a fellow I know for years. Wonderful man of the Lord. And I say it in a not a demeaning way, but in a very positive way. Very simple brother, you know, very simple in his ways, but simple in a way that his mind is focused on Jesus and he meditates constantly on heaven. Just meditate. Can't get enough of thinking about heaven and thinking about his eternal home and thinking about that. And you say, well, what good is that? Well, it helps him to be a better Christian right now. It absolutely does. Because he's remembering that in any moment he could be in the presence of Jesus Christ. So the primary purpose of our proclamation is to do this in remembrance of me. As often as you do it, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And that's what I want to do this morning. I want us to do that together. Because Jesus did say this. You know, he says you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. But Jesus said at the Last Supper, I'm not going to eat of this again until I eat it with you in the kingdom of heaven. Wow, so we get to celebrate it. And yes, is he here amongst us? Absolutely. But there's not a time that he's going to be actually sitting, if you will, at the table with us physically and partaking. He says, until I eat it with you in the kingdom of heaven. What a glorious time that will be. So with that in mind, why don't we have our brothers start coming forward to get ready to distribute the elements. And I want us to take some time to contemplate before we distribute, and then as they distribute, to talk about some of these wonderful things about the bread and the wine. Last thing I want to say before Martin's going to just play a little bit is we just want to take a moment to think. Paul also says in 1 Corinthians, but it's the 10th chapter, not the 11th, he mentions something in there that's really interesting. And I think it's something that we kind of read over, but he says this, that in these symbols of what we do, and the way he says, don't we all take of one bread? Don't we all take of one bread? See, I want us to think about it now as we get ready to partake together of the unity in him and in one another. Because we partake together of his body, of his blood. There's participation in a very interesting, wonderful way. An experience for us to celebrate together what Jesus did for us all. He's your Lord, but he's also our Lord. He's your Savior, but he's also our Savior. He's your God, but he's our God. And we get the chance to celebrate that and remember that this morning. So let's just take a moment as Martin plays softly and just, in the proper way, not in some strange Eastern mysticism way, in a proper way, meditate on Jesus Christ, on his word, on his promises, on the communion table. And then after that, we'll start distributing the elements. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You know, the Bible tells us that you got to love the things that God loves and hates the things that he hates. And one of the things he hates are those who cause disunity amongst the brethren. So I pray that we would always be willing to say, Lord, help us to keep this unity with one another as we have it with you. So I'm going to ask our brother Jack to pray for the distribution of the bread. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. As they're distributing the elements of the bread, I want us to remember too that I don't believe we have to, but I think in a good way it's good that we use the matzah, the unleavened bread, because it reminds us that as sin is a symbolism, as yeast is a symbolism of sin, we do the unleavened bread to show that Jesus himself and his body had no sin within himself. And the matzah reminds us many times, especially in the Seder dinner, that is during the Passover time, they would have the matzah wrapped in three different layers. And if you will, it could represent the Father, the middle one, the Son, and the third, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. And the middle matzah during the Passover Seder is the one that is broken. And that is the one that half of it is then wrapped and hidden away to be found by one of the, usually the children later, and to be brought back, to be ransomed, if you will, by the Father. And the other half is the one that is broken and distributed. So there's a lot of wonderful symbolism in the bread that we do take that reminds us of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was a real physical body that was sinless, that was broken, that went into a tomb, that was resurrected on the third day for our forgiveness, for our pardon. So as soon as we're all served, we'll partake of the bread. So none of us were there on that Last Supper, but we're here today. And the Apostle Paul wasn't there either, but he received it from the Lord what took place that night. And he said that I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Thank you, Jesus. Robert's going to pray for the distribution of the grape juice or the wine. It's grape juice. Don't have to worry about the alcohol, but it is the vine, the fruit of the vine.
Heavenly Father, we are so happy to be your children and to be the beneficiaries of the work that was done on Calvary. We understand, Lord, that our sin that was scarlet, Lord, you have made whiter than snow through the application of the blood that flowed from your precious veins. We could not do it ourselves, Lord, but that sacrifice was complete, and we can stand before you justified because of that precious blood. So as we now remember what you've done, we look forward to the completed work when we will be with you in heaven, and all of this, Lord, we'll continue to celebrate forever. Thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood for us. We remember it and accept it now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
There were actually four cups at a Passover dinner, four cups of wine. And the Bible mentions two of those cups. It doesn't mention all four, but it mentions two of them. And the one that it mentions initially is the one that would have been given at the beginning, that Jesus would have welcomed them all and prayed at the very beginning of their time together, that supper together. And then he proceeded to wash their feet. As you remember when that took place, and he reminds us of the way that we can serve one another and the way that we can do those seemingly the most menial of tasks. And Jesus said, "This I've done as an example for you, and it is the pathway of blessing." Many times we want to know, how can I be blessed? The best way to be blessed is to serve somebody else with your heart. Not so you could look to be blessed. Don't look at it as a little boomerang thing. Just say, "Lord, no, I just want to take my eyes off myself. I want to keep my eyes on you and look out to see what can I do for my brother, for my sister. How can I serve you?" And Jesus said that is a pathway of blessing. And then the third cup would have been the cup that he shared with them that we would recognize as the communion cup, the cup that was his blood in the new covenant. So it's the third cup that one we recognize the most, which we're going to share together in just a moment. So one bread, one cup, one death, one resurrection, one body. Thank you. So when supper was ended, says he took the cup and he said to them, this cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. Thank you, Jesus. Throughout the Last Supper, they would have recited and or sang the Hallel Psalms, Psalm 115 to 118. And after the cup, the last cup, the fourth one, they would have taken some time, as we see it, and they hung around. They didn't just bolt right out. They hung around. They hung around, and Jesus shared some amazing things with them. That's everything you read in John chapter 14 through John chapter 17, which I suggest you maybe do sometime right after service today to see those wonderful, intimate words Jesus spoke to his disciples and speaks to us today. And then when they were all finished that time together, they got up. They sang a hymn. And they went to the Mount of Olives for the next phase, where Jesus would be turned over. But before that, he said to the Father, "Is there any way, if you are willing, that this cup can pass from me, the cup of this suffering?" He knew what he was facing. But he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." And he went willingly to that cross for our sake, in love. That's the only thing that makes sense. He did it for us in love. And that was what held him to that cross. That's what brought him to Calvary. You, me, and for all those who would receive his forgiveness. So, Father, thank you for this time together. And as we finish this portion of sitting at your table, we too want to sing a song, a hymn, and we want to spend some time fellowshipping with one another afterwards and reminding one another of the marvelous things that you have done for us, and to remember your body and your blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.